This is the Mentoring Moments podcast with Jensen Franklin and Marcus Meekum.
Welcome to Mentoring Moments with Pastor Jensen Franklin. I'm Marcus Meekum, and we're so thankful that you're here today. And, you know, one of the things that we, over the last few podcasts, have kind of stepped into is the fact that we have no clue what we're doing. We have no idea what we're doing. And we wanted to kind of stay with that. So I ended up coming last night to Gainesville to shoot this. And of course, you preached all day. So did I.
Yes, Monday morning.
Yeah,
Monday morning when we're taping this at what, 10 o'clock or something like that.
Exactly.
10:30.
And then you know you get done. You have your afternoon stuff. Then you had a staff member who's sick, and it looks like you know is at the end of her life. And so you're up to all hours of the night. You don't sleep. I'm in a hotel. First thing this morning, we talk and. You didn't want to do this. And so I thought, well, every preacher, pastor, maybe it's Saturday for a person that works Monday through Friday. But for us, Monday is always very, very tough. We're exhausted. We're tired. And one thing's for sure, we don't want to talk. Don't make me talk. Whatever you do, just don't make me talk. That's the normal response on a Monday. And so we're on the phone. Courtney calls me. You know, dad doesn't want to do it. That's pastor's oldest daughter. And I don't know, I thought how many of us out there, you know, on Mondays are just, you know, we hate our life in some ways. We're tired. We feel like we failed the day before if numbers weren't what they needed to be. Of course, you got all the other responsibilities too. So if things were down in some way, you're...
Or it's the opposite. It's a high day. It's wow. And then you crash, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the wave builds and then you crash. And, but, you know, it's not that I didn't want to do it as much as you just don't feel, you don't feel inspired. You feel washed out. My brain feels like a marshmallow.
Yeah.
My body feels like a wet noodle. You know, it's just like I need to go sweat. I need to go run. I need to not. I'm tired. It's more mental, and it's more mentally tired.
Yeah,
because you know you just it is a lot. It is a lot. The pressure of it, all of that, and so that you know I think that's a good conversation, and it's good for couples too because you know you are in a mood a lot of times that you need to control. I think or be aware of yourself that I'm probably a little cranky today.
Yeah.
You know, so I need to be cautious and with Therese and really give her attention because she's gone without me most of this whole weekend.
Yeah.
She's not had, and usually that's when she has stuff she needs me to do. Like on the day I least feel like messing with anything, I just want to go to La La Land somewhere or something, you know, watch a TV show or a movie, go to a movie or something.
Is that how you recover? Like, you know, because all these guys that we're all trying to figure out, like, how do we, you know, you have that slump, you know, you're emotionally drained, mentally at the end, and you just recover.
Don't you think, too, you cannot just do that over and over and over. So you have to start slowing down the pace of your life as much as you can. For the endurance of the race, you know. So I need to make up my mind what my priorities are, long haul, you know, long haul. So I feel bad sometimes, but I cannot continually give hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to individual staff situations and past and this and that and this and that and this. Person needs me to counsel them and all. I just cannot do it. Cannot do it. And I've learned to say no. And that helps a lot, you know. And so once you get into that, your number one thing is to communicate. That's number one, is to have a message and a word from the Lord, the best that you can do Sunday. Everything else takes a backseat to that.
Wow.
For me.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
And so...
Is that how it's always been for you?
I've juggled usually not in the earlier years, especially when you don't have a big staff, when you don't have the help that you need, when you don't have people that you trust, when you don't have people that you know are capable and are detailed. And then so then you have to start, you know, and that just takes time. It just takes, it's kind of like, you know, the guy that's running with a baton, a relay race, and he doesn't just choose a guy off the grandstands and run up to him and hand it and say, take off. But he has to have somebody who's running with him. You know, so you that the other guy starts running before he ever gets the baton. You know, he's running with him. And then the pass off, you know, and you take it. But, you know, you're all in the same race. So I don't know. You know, I just I think you do need to be aware of your emotional needs, your physical needs. I just, it's amazing to me if I go run on a Monday.
What that does.
And go sweat. I love to feel that sweat. And, and I my whole mental, and I didn't get to do that this morning.
Wow.
So my whole mentality is different the rest of the day. I'm much, much, much more chill the rest of the day. If I can get that, I need that. You know, I need to do what I do. I try to do push-ups and I try to run. That's about it.
Well, we're body, soul, and spirit, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is, you know, we're not all spirit. So Sunday, Saturday, Friday, you're prepping. You got to get your spirit man right.
Yeah, that's
you
got to
get your spirit set.
You're working him out.
Years ago, I heard it like this, that you spiritualize, then you normalize, and you try to not carnalize.
Yeah.
Because when you come off of the high of a weekend, what a lot of pastors don't know how to do is they don't know how to normalize. Mm. So running,
really
a movie,
good.
Just how do I... Because I can't be up here all the time.
It's really good.
It's not the way God's built us. We're triune. We got a body side. And if you don't think your body's spiritual, if you're trying to make it, well, just get sick for a little bit and see how much you want to pray.
So good.
God's made it all to work together. And that's what you're saying is you got to find a way
to
recover.
When Moses, God said, what's in your hand? He said, I got this stick. God says, throw it down. And suddenly a plain, normal average stick becomes supernatural. It's supernatural. It turns into a serpent. It becomes alive. It's sensational. A snake is not a, you know, common thing. It's sensational. And he takes, and then God says, pick it back up. And he picks it up and it turns back to a stick. And so the point is, you know, Moses would go to Pharaoh with that average common stick. That's kind of how you feel as a preacher. I'm nothing but a stick. I am not sensational. I am not any of that. All I am is a stick. And God says, you equip that stick, you study, you get everything you need to do, and then I'll get you on the stage in front of people, and I'll throw that stick down, and I'll make it something that wow. That's a word from God. Wow, I feel God's, this guy's got a word from the Lord, you know? And the key to that miracle, though, the biggest part of that miracle is not that God could take a stick that's normal and average and ordinary and turn it into something supernatural that amazes and wows from the Pharaoh down to thousands of people, I'm sure, who were standing around watching this guy do the supernatural on a stage in front of the whole world. You know, it's supernatural to communicate to people in the way that we are called to do it.
Yeah.
We're not just talkers. We're not just entertainers. We have to bring the words of life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a heavy, I think that's why we feel sometimes the exhaustion.
Yeah.
Because if you truly carry a burden with that message, and you feel the weight of, you know, your congregation, you know, the pain that's out there, you know, the hopelessness that's out there, you know, the struggles that are out there, you know, that people are not walking through they came to church today desperate to hear from God.
Amen.
All of that stuff weighs on you.
Yeah.
And your deal is you got to transfer it over to God.
Yeah.
And say, Holy Spirit, I cannot do this, but throw me down and use me supernaturally. And he's done that. And he does that over and over and over. But the greatest part of that miracle is not that God could take something normal and average and turn it into something supernatural that everybody says, wow. But the greatest part of that story is that when it was over, and he picked it back up, it went back to being his stick. It went back to being ordinary, average, normal, cranky, tired, unspiritual.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to say that the Holy Spirit, I love the Lord. I'm praying continually. Yeah, yeah. I've thought of the Lord today. I've prayed for my family even today.
Yeah.
And all of that. But I also, I don't want to talk about the Bible today. I don't feel, I mean, if I go by my feelings, I'm feeling better now that we're talking. But you know what I'm saying? I guess the deal is, can God use you in a magnificent way on Sunday, but you come back and be a stick on Monday and take out the garbage and go with your wife and do what she wants to do and love, you know, and be a good dad and call, you know, and be all the normal stuff. That's the stick. The snake is sensational. The snake is wow.
Yeah.
And the snake is everybody's coming up to you telling you, Pastor, that you're just something else. You're just God really used you, blah, 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 blah. And you cannot let that get in your head and then go back home and try to transfer all that stuff to your family because they don't give a rip.
They do not care.
And so,
they do not care
and
at
so
all.
You just got to go back to being a normal dad, a normal husband, a normal person.
I like what you're saying too, because that anybody that, you know, has that weight on them. But you also, like a lot of times what you help me do is you help me not feel the weight in ways that like you've taught me ways to talk to myself. Like you've said, you don't have to hit a home run every time.
Right.
Just get on base. And so sometimes I'll be looking at my sermon.
If you keep hitting base hits,
you're
going to get the home runs. They just, every Sunday, just get on base. Just get on base. And the home runs will come in.
But what I found is when you don't think I've got to knock it out of the park every time, you're just like, I'm building a church. As long as we're moving in the right direction, we know where we're going. This message is just, I don't have to do it all today, which is how you where you're so good. And I think we need to talk to some guys out there about, you know, you preach relatively short, how, you know, the reasons why you do that. And, you know, but yeah, so it's you get to this point where you're like, okay, because I relaxed into all I need is a base hit, you end up stepping up to the plate with a little bit more strength because you're not making it so big in your head. You know, you shrunk it down to being something manageable. You're not making yourself out to be this big old thing. Just, you know, just kind of shrink yourself down to, you don't need to fix the world's problems in one sermon. And just get out there, do your job, do it well, and let God do what you can.
So. Yeah, that scripture, I preached on it a few weeks ago. It talks about a word fitly spoken or framed is like apples of gold in a pitcher or a container of silver.
Yeah.
That it's just if you've got the right word or if you've got a relevant word, a current feel, you know, message that speaks to where people are. It's like gold apples in a silver bowl.
Yeah.
You just, and that's a great feeling, but it's those times when you don't feel like you have it that drive you crazy. And it's the most stressful thing in the world. And I certainly have those times.
I know.
And it just drives you crazy.
Maybe we could help some guys. Like, so how do you, you know, I've always heard, you know, great teaching doesn't look like, you know, this. It's not just a stables. It's great teaching is up, down, up, down. You know, it's you've thought about the dynamics. And, of course, any of us that are younger look to you and just the way you look at the scripture. I think they used to say that the scripture is like, the ancient rabbis would say it's like a gem with 70 faces. I think you said this one time. And every time they turn it, the light hits them differently. There's a different reflection. It's the same verse, but the light hits it uniquely. And so what we love so much is how you you give us those unique glimpses, and how you do that. What are some ways that you go out prepping for a weekend, thinking through a weekend?
Well, we all feed out of our heart. Create in me, the scripture said. Create in me.
Huh.
First of all, a clean heart. If you're gonna be creative, we all feed out of what is really in your heart. What is God? What are you really feeling? What are you really sensing? What's really going on with you? Not the facade.
Yeah.
But you feed out of your heart. What are you putting in your heart? What are you guarding your heart? Guard your heart with all diligence, because that's what you feed out of. And he said, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit.
Hmm.
I don't know it all. I'm certainly not the epitome of preachers, but if you can ever learn, you got to feed your heart. You will create out of what's in your heart. And I've just learned to really try to listen to, what do I need? And let me put it like this. This is gonna be real raw and real.
Okay.
So let's say I don't like to preach on temptation if I'm going through a season where I'm struggling with temptation. Okay? Because I like to preach on the other side of that. When I'm strong and I'm not going through a season or something, I don't talk about stuff that I may be dealing with at that moment. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense.
Because, but there are other issues such as discouragement, or I'm just hurting, or I'm just questioning, or I'm just frustrated. I will preach out of those things that I'm going through. So you guard your heart in certain seasons. You don't need to talk about some things going through. Although you're learning through them,
yeah,
you, even private things in your family or whatever,
yeah,
you're learning through them, and there'll come a time when God will release you to talk about them, and you'll talk from a position of authority over them.
Yes.
But there's other things that it's powerful if you preach while you're going through them, such as valleys and crisis and lack and pain and hurt and feelings of, I could give up today if I let myself. I could walk away today. When you preach out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The most communicative, powerful words will come out of, what am I going through? Deep in my heart, what am I feeling deep in my heart? And especially when something is raw and real in your life, if you can, you don't have to preach a whole message, but take whatever God's given you in content and try to attach it to give a personal illustration of your own vulnerability in that area. And if you can do that, that's when a congregation is moved to another whole level of being communicated to, because it's not just up there a guy giving principles that are true, and we must preach doctrine.
Yes.
So preach the doctrine, but then if you can somehow go back and it gets connected to you either through an emotional thing or a story or something that really moved you. We had this Sunday I preached, and I was talking about how that we, if we don't watch it as a church and church people, we become holy and we don't want to ever touch the dirty. And,
this is bad.
And
yeah.
You know how Jesus stooped down and touched the dirt.
Mm.
And I told a personal illustration of my wife, Charisse, and my daughter, one of my daughters, Carissa. She started a little side business of doing these balloons, like, I'm not doing a good job of describing it, but they pay, you know, they pay a lot of money to do parties. She's in Orange County. Yeah. They pay a lot of money. I mean, like, it's crazy how much money these people spend for a party, and they want balloons and things like that. So to make a long story short, she got a call, and it was from, this is going to be controversial, so get ready. But she got a call, and these people, the people who called her, they are gay.
Yeah.
Called my daughter, and they wanted her to, they saw some pictures of like children's parties or this or that, that she had done part with balloons. Mm-hmm. And they said, would you do this for us? Would you come do this? And they thought about it, and she asked us about it. And she asked Charisse. They didn't really ask me. I'm glad they didn't ask me, but they asked her. And Charisse said, because she needed, you know, it's a good income thing for her. And so she said, I'll help you. Charisse said, I'll help you. Now, I'm too holy to go to a club in Los Angeles that's gay. And I'm not going. I'm too holy.
Yeah.
But my wife said, I'll help you. And my daughter works with people, you know, that and stuff in the other jobs that she has. And so she goes downtown Los Angeles. They put on this thing. And she said these drag queens and so on start pulling up. And this is how Charisse describes it to me. And she starts crying. Mm. She starts crying. And she says they pull up four basic drag queens. They have their outfits and their wigs and they get out of, she said, it was the nastiest looking car. It was pitiful. It was rusty, broken down. You can tell, you know, what kind of life these four human beings are in, you know, what got them there. What, it's so easy to judge people, to say they're dirty, they're going to hell. But she goes into describing that to me, and she goes into saying that they just loved them. They just talked, and that when they saw how beautiful the balloons were, because that's something in the makeup that loves that artistic side. I don't know. I don't know how God can use almost anything. Isn't he amazing?
Yeah.
And so these guys come over, and by now they've had their makeup. They've got eyelashes. They've got wigs. They've got high heels. And they cannot believe that Charisse is a preacher's daughter, because the person told them that got them. And that my wife, a preacher's wife, would come to a gay club, and she was so nice to them, and she was almost like a mother to them. And by the time the thing was over, and listen, I preach as strong as anybody on sin. You know that. And I try to live what I preach. And so we know it's sin. There's no question it's sin.
Yeah.
But the thing that got me was that they come up to her at the end, and they're hugging them, and they're basically one of them says, where is this church? Your husband's a pastor of the church, and he's okay with you being here. And it's not that they were condoning what they were doing. They really didn't know what they were going into fully.
You know what I heard years ago? When the church stops going into the world is when the world gets into the church. And it's true. The second you start building those walls up and you stop going to where hurting people are, that's when the church starts getting worldly, judgmental, self-righteous.
That's so powerful. It messed me up, though, to hear her. She was crying.
Yeah.
Charisse, you know Charisse. Yeah. Charisse is she's not a crier like that.
Yeah.
But she was crying. Her heart was touched because she spent a Saturday not in a women's prayer meeting, not getting a prophetic word from a prophet, but she spent a Saturday afternoon while her husband was praying and reading the study and getting the word, she was touching the dirty.
The dirt, yeah.
And so I worked that into the message. And it kind of freaks people out, I think.
It does, yeah.
But at the same time,
but people need to know what you're talking, because the same thing in the church, like all these guys are out there and it's constantly coming to us. How do you reach people that maybe aren't far from God or don't know what the scripture teaches?
You
want to
know how you reach them? What if it was your daughter? What if it was your son? That's all you got to ask yourself. You better ask yourself, if it was my child, how would I reach him? How would I want a preacher to reach him? How would I want, you know, that's the thing. When my kids have gotten off and kind of off the track and gone and strayed, and I wasn't in their life, my prayer has been, because they still may be going to church, is, oh God, please, whoever they're going to hear preach, let them have a word from the Lord. Please, God, let them not just be somebody up there, just blah, blah, blah. But yeah, please let them have a word from the Lord, right?
Absolutely.
So if you kind of take that as a burden, you know, because that's where the greatest sermons come from, is the own, when you get tender to the society we live in.
Yeah.
And you don't hate them, you love them. But yeah, you also know that you carry the anointing to communicate the truth.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so you end up sometimes with scattered thoughts and scrambled eggs, and you got a little here and a little there, and then you got to pull it all together.
I like the part, you know, when we'll back up before that last part, because I think guys might have missed it.
Okay.
But what you said about if you're going through a season of temptation, you don't necessarily work that out from the pulpit, which what he's saying, and most of you guys probably know this, but if you didn't catch it, to bleed all over everybody when you're going through something, and you see pastors do this where they're just preaching on sexual sin.
Right.
And usually that's an indicator that they're probably struggling with it. You know, that's all they talk about, going back to the same.
And yet we are required to give
talk
clear.
About.
I mean, if like never before, we need preachers preaching
on
the truth of God's word in those areas. So the
but
key
wait
to
till it, you get victory in it is what you're saying.
Absolutely, and if you are struggling, then you know that's where you need. I mean, sometimes the greatest talks you and I have. Again, we keep telling people you don't need a lot of friends,
yeah,
but you need two or three real friends in your life that you can talk about anything.
Yeah,
you can talk about everything within reason. I would never, you know, we don't.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about if you are weary, if you are weak, if you are concerned that you know that deep in your heart, you know, I'm faking it a little bit right now. I'm struggling a little bit right now. I'm uninspired right now. It's so good to have somebody that can pull you out of that funk.
Yeah. Well, when you're in seasons of like weakness too, you have to gravitate.
It's called accountability.
You have to make, say, okay, I'm in a, you take that mistake, that weakness, and you gravitate back towards your mentor.
It's good.
You know, you
it's
have to say,
good.
Okay, we have a tendency to want to pull back, but you got to lean into it, get it in the light. Second, you get it, even if you're just laughing and joking about it, sometimes like you're trying to say, hey, I'm, you know, you're just trying to say, hey, when you get it into the light, all of a sudden it doesn't feel as powerful.
So
just
good.
Talk about, hey, I'm feeling a little this or that, whatever it might be. And you get it in the light, all of a sudden it loses its power a little bit. Because now, and there's accountability in it too, without so they say, I need you to hold me accountable. Call me every day.
Yeah.
Make sure I don't make a mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, I mean, that's where integrity, that's where the Holy Spirit comes
right.
in. You know, like he's got to walk you through it too.
Yeah.
And maybe you need that for a little bit, but for the most part, it's just get it out there.
That's really good.
Hey, you know me. Am I on thin ice here? Am I thinking about this wrong or is this normal? And more times than not, it's just what happens being a human being. So
good.
Well, we're here on these sermons. So then you said, but when you're going through like real trials or struggles or disappointment, that it's good to speak from that.
I think so.
And that's where a lot of times it's the opposite. guys aren't vulnerable when it comes to those types of things. And I do see that wisdom in you, how you know how to, like I was talking to a pastor last night about this. We were just talking about you. He came in for the day to spend it with us. And he called me on Sunday or texted me on Sunday night. He said, I hope you have a good Sunday. And he's in his early 30s, just been pastoring for just over a year, doing amazing. But he said, I'm feeling really lonely. So I'm like, why don't you come up and hang out with us? And we're talking about you. And of course, that's something I get a lot because you're 60, you're a general. There's no question a lot of us, you know, he made a point that he's like, I've been watching Pastor Jensen since I was 10 years old. And so I'm listening to him talk. But what we kept coming back to is one of the things that you have an ability to do that a lot of guys don't, and it's not a comparison, but it is part of what connects people to you, is you know how to let, like, it's almost like you ooze like a preciousness and a love for people with behind what you're saying, and it comes out. It's not like there's not a separation between you and people, but you're saying, you're giving us the keys to how that works. If I'm discouraged, that's probably the direction I need to go, versus I'm in this little series and I've got this study I'm in, and nothing wrong with those. Sometimes we all have to do that, but in general, our lives don't flow in that kind of a way. You know, our lives are a little bit more, you know, liquid than that, you know?
I think too, you know, one of the things that I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but I love to, after the sermon and like what the pandemic kind of wrecked it, but after I preach, I like to go out and shake people's hands.
Yeah.
It's just, if I could say one thing to pastors, one of the dumbest things we do is retreat to our green room.
So true.
When that's our time with our people. Get out there and shake hands. I left here yesterday, the service, I left here yesterday at 1:30. I spent 1 hour shaking hands, hugging necks, praying for people after the service. And to stand at that back door and put your hand out and touch those people, you will be amazed at the sermon content, illustrations, testimonies, and this is huge. Inspiration to preach things will come as you're touching the sheep, as you're shaking the hands and hearing. And I tell people all the time, I'll set it up like this. I'm going to the back. I'm going to be shaking hands. Now, I want to say hello. You can't tell me your life story. There's going to be a line.
No counseling appointment today.
But I do want to meet you. Yeah. And if you have something to say, get to the point, and people are very, that makes them cautious about it.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, that's gold.
Another thing you taught me, I'm terrible at this piece of it, but you said it helps to walk in early, like
sometimes,
10 minutes early.
I don't do that much anymore.
But we're just talking for a second. We don't have to do everything perfectly.
Yeah.
Just to try. I have tried it. I've watched
you
do
that. You know who's great at that? Is, and it's because he's a guest speaker. But Dr. Mark Rutland, he never come, and I don't know if he still does this or not, but he used to come, and he almost insulted me because he would never be backstage. If I was there, I'm usually not here when he preaches, but if I was there, he would say, well, if you don't mind, I'm going to go on out. And I could never figure that out. And I'm like, I'm sitting back here. What? It will get 15 minutes before church. And he would go out and he'll walk through the crowd and shake hands. And he's a genius because I noticed the moment he got up, people are cheering and they're happy. And it's because he's been out there talking. He's already got them on his
side.
Absolutely. He's already got the sermons.
He don't have to say one
He don't
thing.
Even need, I mean, he's yeah. he's one of the greatest yeah. preachers in the world. But he's got that crowd in the palm of his hand because he's worked that crowd. He's worked that crowd from the lobby all, when he's coming down the aisle, he's going over, shaking hands, and they're smiling, and they're astonished that he's not, so holified that, yeah. that he can't come over and laugh and joke, and he's got a great sense of humor. And when he walked in the pool, you know, I just started to notice it. I'm like, you know, because he was on a rotation preaching for yeah. us, and, yeah. and still was our go-to guy. A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I thought, well, that's another level. I ain't got to that level yet because I get too nervous about what I'm about to preach, you know.
It's different. It's a different side of your brain. I mean, it's even to go out in the lobby sometimes, because for me, if I don't go, it's not because I think I'm better than, you know, or I'm too good for. It's more like I feel like I just bombed. I don't want to look at anybody.
And that's where I would challenge you. I'm saying here. And I will even have in my mind, I am not preaching that message again. That was a flop. And I'll go to the back door, and people will in tears tell me, if you hadn't said that, if I hadn't heard that, and I'm like, and it fills you with courage, you know, God's word will not return void. Here I go. I usually shift into another gear.
Yeah.
You know, so confidence is a big deal. With a message,
absolutely. Well, I want some nuts and bolts. You got this, folder here,
yeah,
and it's filled with sermons from.
Well, I've talked about the shepherd's bag and all that. I don't know. I don't know that David had a shepherd's bag, and he knew a good stone when he saw one.
Okay,
that's why he had five. He always had more than what he needed. He would only face one giant, but he kept, when he would see a stone, he would pick it up and put it in his shepherd's bag. We always hear about he had the staff in one hand and slingshot, but it also says he had a shepherd bag, and he was a connoisseur of stones. He knew a good stone when he felt it and when he touched it. He knew this could bring a giant down, and he would put it in his bag. So really our job, all week long, every week, every book we read, every message we listen to, every mentor we hear teach or talk or podcast or anything else, is pick up stones and put them in your bag. Pick up illustrations. Pick up even emotions. Can shift a whole atmosphere if you get the emotion of something that you're communicating. And so, you know, the mindset must be that we have to develop and have a shepherd's bag and always have more than it takes to win. So, you know, if you go to the pulpit, try to have more than you need. I can always do a series, but have more than you need. So here's what my life looks like. I wrote it down.
I like it.
Study and pray and preach. And then do it again. Study and pray and preach. Study, pray, preach. Study, pray, preach. And then do it again. And your victory will already be predetermined. Now, with that said, I want to read a scripture from Ecclesiastes 12. And it says this. It says, the preacher sought to find acceptable words.
Huh. It's like you're building a cathedral with your words, huh?
Yeah. So through much study, this is Ecclesiastes, he mines for golden nuggets of truth through much study. So
where's that at in Ecclesiastes?
It's Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 10. And this is what it says in verse 10. It says, the preacher, are you a preacher? Are you a communicator? The preacher sought to find acceptable words. The King James says desirable words, something somebody wants to hear, which were written upright words of truth. So desirable words are, he's a lover of truth. He researches with passion and listens with an attentive ear, searching for desirable words, weighty words, words that can, that would make one wise unto salvation. This is what it says, Ecclesiastes 12 and 9. Moreover,
the Bible works, doesn't
it? The preacher was wise. He taught people knowledge. He kept teaching knowledge. And the only way you do that, I love what it said, because he listened with an attentive ear. The only way you're going to ever teach people truth is you got to be a good hearer first. He pondered it. He sought it. He set it out. You're jotting down notes. You're you're seeking and searching for acceptable words. You go through a lot of material to find one good, fitly framed word that is powerful, and you put that in your bag, and you put another one in your bag, and you put another one in your bag. You may not need it all then, but for me, it means writing it down, write it down, write it down, write it down. If I hear something, I write it down.
Somebody asked Steven Spielberg one time, why was he a good moviegoer? And he said, you know, or a good movie producer. And he said, 'cause I'm a good moviegoer. He loves to go to movies. And the same thing as a preacher.
You gotta
want to listen. You gotta want to hear. You gotta want to study the art of it. There's a science to it, and then there's the art of it.
So
who's really good at what they do? And study them.
It's so true.
Watch them. Listen. Yeah.
That word there, the preacher. Let me find it. Where was I at? 12, verse 12. Let me back it up. He said the preacher salt. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. So he sought it out. He organized it. He put it in order. Wise sayings. He's searching for wise sayings. Where's some truth? Where's something that really, where's a great quote? Where's a great thought? You may have to search through a lot of listening while you're in the shower, listening while you're shaving, listening while you're driving in your car, listening. But there is a wise saying. I like that. That's a big theme. I need to stop the car and write it down if I have to, or speak it into a recorder or something.
So everything's content. Everything is, even like a tire on the side of the road randomly speaks to you. Don't just let it pass by, even if you never go back to it. A brick, or you know, like
there. Yeah, because you're gonna need it if this is what you do and this is the main thing in your life. It's got to be an obsession.
Yeah, I was at the Western Southern, like it's a tennis tournament. I'm not a tennis player, but a business guy in our church wanted me to go to it. And in the middle of these top notch, I mean, they're the best pros in the world. A butterfly flies onto the court, and they can't play. They're best players in the world. They are so passionate. They've reached the highest. They're serving like 140 miles an hour, but they can't play with a little butterfly. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're professionals. Why can't you play with that little? But even at that level, they understand distractions and all that stuff. So, but that my point is, I'm watching it, and I knew that was a sermon.
Yeah.
Because I'm always you have to get content from everywhere.
Preachers have to be gleaners of wise sayings. You just are gleaning the field all the time. Wise sayings. And the lucky day is when you have people who come into your life, either directly or indirectly, that you really relate to when they speak, and you get something out of, and you know every time you hear them, they have something to say. Then glean from that. Glean from their field. Go through their stuff in that field, glean from it. And, all preachers are gleaners. Verse 11 said, the words of a wise man are like the ox goad. The ox goad had a sharp point. In other words, the words of a wise preacher will prick people's hearts. It'll get their attention. They'll be sitting out there, and you got them. Boom. They'll prick. They'll get, you know, the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and they were pricked in their hearts. It stuck. It got them. It got them. You got them. You got to have some of those moments. Don't ever get up that you know somewhere in this sermon, I don't mean hurt them.
It.
I'm talking about you. They're not just out here, but it all comes in because you've got the right wise word right there. And then it goes on to say, listen to this. He says, so the preacher sought to find, except searching and finding those wise saying. And then the next verse says, the words of the wise are like an ox goad, and the words of a scholar are like a well-driven nail given by one shepherd. I love that. So it's like a nail in a sure place. It's like you nailed them. Right here, the sermon's going to nail them. You know, and you know it, and you're building to that. So, and you, and if it doesn't,
it's that Sisera thing too.
Yeah, if it doesn't, that's right. If it doesn't nail them, and here's the danger of it, is it, what if you're building? Well, number one, I've run that, the big nail part, I've run that by, like, Tracy Page, our executive pastor, comes in, and even on Saturdays, I'll call him all the time, and I'll say, send me, I'm preparing something, and I need this transcript, that all the messages are transcribed that I've done for 30 years.
Yeah.
And so I'll say, I remember I preached. I don't remember the, I can't, and I don't have time to try to find the outline. Send me the transcript of this. Send me the transcript of that. And they've got them all done, and boom, I'll get them on a text in 2 minutes sometimes. And the point is, I've run, because I'm trying to, I'm trying to build something, you know, that will prick and touch and minister, maybe conviction or maybe healing or whatever it is, but it's got an edge to it. It's got the, and sometimes you think you do, and it doesn't have the impact that you thought it would. That's when you need those other four stones in the bag, just in case this first one doesn't work. You know, I got another one. But here's the thing. When you're preaching, let it be rooted in doctrine, but reaching for the lost. Rooted in doctrine, but always reaching for the lost. And then it says, they have one shepherd. I love that. Become masters, and it says, and they will become masters of assemblies. Isn't that something? An assembly is a congregation, a group of people.
Yeah.
So you become wordsmiths, you become teachers, you become sages, you become instructors, until you become owners of a collection of truth that is to die for. And you're always mining, putting in that bag, and you become a master of the assembly. You're walking up to that pulpit, and you're ready, and you're ready to go. And owners of a collection of words and phrases and illustrations and stories, and that's where I'm trying to get to. Old preachers are gold mines. They're masters of assemblies. They've learned things that you can learn. And so I brought an illustration, and we may get y'all, come over here or something with a camera, but. This was given to me by a man who's deceased, an amazing preacher, Bishop T.F. Tenney. And he gave me four of these. His wife, Theda, sent me this one recently. But I've got four of these. They're thick with sermon outlines and, most of all, phenomenal quotes. Phenomenal one-liners. The very thing that we've been talking about. The preacher's sought to find acceptable words. Well, she sends me these outlines, and it's page after page after page of why doesn't God do something? What should I do?
Well, what you're saying is something you taught me, and you study Charles Spurgeon, even though it was, you know, late 1800s. I mean, you study their outlines,
If you get a collection of Charles Spurgeon sermons,
and
you read them, they're in Old English.
Yeah,
you know, he pastored in London and had a mega church of 5,000 in London in the 1800s. So, and if you read, it takes a long time even to read one sermon.
It does.
And it's kind of hard because you're having to translate it into, he's saying it one way and you're having to understand what he's saying. But oh my goodness, the illustrations he uses in typology. He's always Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament.
It to Jesus. All roads lead to Rome. He always takes it back to the cross every time.
And if you can ever get some old preachers in your life that really were good preachers, I mean, they were great communicators. I think I told this before, but I used to go when I was an evangelist, and I would go over to the church and study, and I would ask the pastor, could I study in his office? And especially if they were a guy that had tons of books, and I would go through his books and they would have them highlighted. So I didn't even have to read the whole book because I would only look at the parts that were highlighted. And I was like, whoa, that's powerful. That's good. Yeah. And you know,
I do that to you. And when they let me in your office,
if you can get Pastor T.F. Tenney poured so much into me.
Yeah.
He was amazing. But like he this is one in here. Leading from the anointing. He said, I don't know how to tell you what the anointing is, but I can tell you when it is not. It is not lights or fog or color, smoke machines, outfits or props. He wasn't against that.
No, yeah,
he's just saying that is not,
it's
the,
not
anointing.
The anointing.
It's the rare combination of activity, passion, and creativity. You can always tell a pioneer by the arrows in his back. And this just goes on and on. It's gold. Everything. Listen, in later years, you won't take risks. In later years, you won't take risks. Some of you young preachers better do what God's telling you to do while you're young. That's what I push you in all the time. I keep trying to make you think, because you don't like risk the older you get. Now, I do for some reason. I do. I actually do. I actually need it. And that may be a difference between, you know, settling and not settling. And that may be the way I know that it's probably time for me to step away from the church.
Yeah.
Is if I ever lose, the willingness to risk, to try something new, I just can't do that. I cannot sit and not see growth. It's got to happen, or I get crazy, or somebody else needs to do it.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep getting out there in that place where you're scared. You know, if it gets safe and secure, that's when you end up messing everything up.
Yeah.
You know, because you get bored and.
But you know, just to have, I don't know what I'm trying
but
to say.
I'll go back. Like what you've taught me to lean into is a lot of times we're all listening to the same people. It's the three or four guys that have 4 or 5 million followers on Instagram. And that's fine. Okay, that's fine. Great. But what he's taught me is find the independent Baptist church. Find smaller Pentecostal circles and streams. And the point for that is you're just going back to people that have been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years. Find the Spurgeons, find the even go back and watch the Amy Simple McPhersons, go back and watch the Catherine Colemans, go back
touching
and
the
watch.
Old bones, you know, when Elisha touched, when Elisha died, they put his bones in a cave and a new generation came along and one of the soldiers was wounded and they were running from being chased by the enemy and the wounded guy that was dead was slowing them down and they wanted to take his body back, but he was dead and they had an enemy pursuing them. So they saw the cave and they threw the dead man who was a young man into the tomb. And when his body touched the old bones of the prophet Elisha, life came to a new generation by touching the old bones. And when you touch the old bones of, for me, it was people like Dr. Ray H. Hughes. Have you ever heard Ray H. Hughes preach?
Yeah,
I've told you about him. You should go on.
You can find him on YouTube.
Dr. Ray H. Hughes, Dr. T.L. Lowry.
Yeah.
These guys were old-fashioned preachers, but boy, they were something.
Love all those UPC guys.
They're phenomenal.
I mean, you know, they just are. They just know the scripture. They know how to put a sermon together.
The hand of God, the anointing is the anointing.
Yeah.
And you can learn so much, too, from people. Like, I like to listen, too, to teachers. Like, for years, I listened to Charles Stanley, and he's totally different style.
Yeah.
But it says it's those nuggets. It's those nuggets. It's different nuggets that you can get from different people, and you also
Adrian Rogers is another one. We love.
I preach out of his study Bible.
I've
got it all marked. Some of the greatest content, Adrian Rogers.
He's so good.
He's so good.
When you talk about words and somebody that is an expert at finding the words and how a word, like a phrase, a comment, can stick, an image can stick.
And you know
so
what
well.
Else yeah. is? It helps you understand that however you have, whatever camp you've been in all your life, it's one shepherd. You know, you're gathering all this stuff from here, there, and there. But the text said, the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. So you're gathering from that camp, from this, from that, from this, from that. Because you're doing the same thing when you're reading books. You don't know the denominational background of... I never thought about what's his name? Max Licato. I don't care. I don't know
exactly.
what his background is. I could care less what his background is. If he's got some wisdom and some truth that I need, I'm taking it.
Absolutely.
You know, and he does. He's a brilliant writer.
Especially holidays.
Mark Batterson.
Yeah. Incredible.
I don't know squat about Mark. I don't know if he's Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic,
yeah.
Lutheran, Presbyterian. I don't care.
Yeah.
If he's got something that's truth, I want it.
Yeah.
I preached his Circle Maker, man. I made it.
Yeah.
I made it. I did it like I would do.
And that's freeing to guys because you can end up in scenarios. This happened recently where I was in a setting and the person that was up there preaching kept bashing, kind of being harsh on preachers for using other people's stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, you just think you just sat in an empty room and it just all just floods.
Well, maybe
you gotta,
maybe
you gotta
that's
be
why
ad-
we, you know, because you, I don't, I'm 60 years old and I, everything I know, I learned from somebody else. Everything. So I don't know.
Well, they need to hear that it's
yeah.
okay to use
it's
somebody else's
that,
stuff. Now, it's one thing to go preach word for word. It's another thing, like you said, it's more like I have a concept here. So what I'll do is you taught me this years ago, the text will talk. So you go to the Bible, you find a story, and the outline is usually there. And you'll see it, you'll have a phrase, a statement for you. It was and then you start listening to certain, you'll know if it's on commitment or unity. And you start going, let me go find Charles Spurgeon. Does he say anything on unity? And then you read all the unity stuff and you just backfill it. You add to it, you start building it. And but just to sit around and think it's just going to all come to you and to listen to people that act like that's what they do, that they just they get this download from heaven all the time. Maybe they do exist, but you freed me to say, no, you got to expose yourself. You got to get out there. You got to get way more than you're ever going to need. And
I think, too, it's just ego and pride sometimes to be willing just to say, man, you know, preachers are, it's a different world. It's a different life. And you need all the help you can get. You need all the friends you can get. And if your spirit is right, God'll help you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you gotta prepare your heart, I think. So there's, you know, I don't know where we end this, but I do think it's funny that after all that is said, you know, it's a powerful word, acceptable words, and words are like, you know, they prick the heart and one shepherd. And then he ends it in verse 12 by saying that of the making and reading of many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. It's draining. It's draining. When it's all said and done, it's draining. So, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it doesn't get it's not an easy job. It's not. But God will help you. And the greatest thing is the anointing. I mean,
yeah.
If you can get the anointing on what you're preparing. So say it all the time, study to get a message, but pray to get a burden, because prayer is what connects that message to the anointing.
Mm. And so powerful. You know, as we kind of try to wrap up our time together, you know, I was, I've had an opportunity to talk to several guys, pastors that have listened to the first few that we've done. And you know, the biggest thing that everybody's kind of saying too is that what they're getting out of it is we're letting someone in the room. This is exactly, exactly what we do on Saturday. This isn't like a change up, really. We've got some microphones on, but this is what we do. And hopefully you're feeling like you're in the room with one of, you know, the best I know. And
well, so, the only reason that I don't like doing this is because, and I know you say that, and I appreciate that, but that I feel so crazy about what that kind of stuff, because if nothing else, what I want this to say is you can do it. You can do it, preacher. I know every insecurity. I know every fear. I know every feeling of honestly, I am not. It's just the Lord takes a stick that really tries hard. I really do try hard. I really do try hard. I may not have what somebody else has and can do, but I do really try hard. And He takes it and he touches it and it becomes alive. And He uses me, and then I can't really. I don't know why.
I don't know if you're supposed to. I think it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be elusive. Maybe the God factor is something you're maybe not That's supposed good. To understand. Because I can look back at where I am, and I can say we had conversations. I could say, well, thank God, Pastor showed interest in me, and that's helped me a lot. But there's still these gaps. I don't know how I got to where I am, and I don't know why anybody shows up to speak or to hear me speak, or whatever reasons they're showing up. I'm glad they're there. I'm thankful, but I don't know why.
The insecurity that we're talking about, I guess, is part of the limp that you need to walk with if you carry revelation, that it's not from you, it's from God.
Yeah.
And He's used all kinds of methods to get it to you, but it's not yours. You don't own none of it. It's God's. And just stay low. Just stay humble. Just stay generally you're kind in your soul. You may get up. I'm emotional. I'm moody. Yeah. But when it's said and done, I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna be kind to people. I'm gonna treat people right, because I know ultimately that is my heart, and out of your heart comes your real message. And God, He said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle. Like when God's searching, He's looking at your spirit. He says, I take my lighter and I look at, kind of spirit have you got? Are you arrogant? Are you cocky? Are you letting stuff in your life? And let me light up His spirit. He's got a big church. Let me light up His spirit. Let me see what's really down in there. Is he treating his wife ugly and walking around trying to walk in that pulpit? Let me light up what's really in his spirit. And He's not searching for perfection. He's saying, but the spirit of Marcus is to love me and to honor me and to do what the scripture says and to be right. And I'll give him a little grace if he hadn't straightened up in some area of his life. But I do need to know his spirit. So I'm going to take my big lighter and I'm going to light up his spirit, and I'm going to see if it's defiled. I'm going to see if it's filthy. Yeah. I'm going to see if it's clean. I'm going to see if it's a pure heart or not.
Yeah.
And I can work with all the flaws, but I need the right spirit. Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, because spirits make men. Not talent, spirits.
Pastor, man, thank you. I've gotten so much even out of just these last few minutes, and that is what we've done. You've been in the room with somebody that's really done this for almost 40 years, and that's our prayer for you, is that you would be able to stay focused, endure, take it easy on yourself, don't beat yourself up too much, find all the resources you can from everywhere you can, and
preach the word.
Get up and preach it. Do it. Give them heaven.
Amen.
So, hey, if you like this, if you're enjoying it, share it. Maybe hit the subscribe button. Let somebody know about it. And maybe send us a message, comment, email us. let us know that this is worthwhile for you. It helps us keep going. So, yeah, other than that, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for Mentoring Moments with Jensen Franklin and Marcus Meekum. Leave a comment to join the conversation. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.